Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey.
What's up?
I sound way more cheerful than I feel. I feel so run down.
It's that mid-January. Holidays are over. What's there to look forward to in life? Still getting dark at 4 p.m. and it's negative million degrees type of vibe. Is that what I'm feeling?
Yes. Plus tax season is coming. I paid taxes today and I was like, wait, what? I had a big scare, but then it turned out I didn't owe as much as I thought. But still, like, I can't even shake that big scare. It's almost like, you know, you think there's like a monster in your closet and your parent turns on the light. It's like there's no monster, but you're still looking at the closet like there was a monster. I just feel like,
I feel you.
I know. It's just, I started my IVF, so I feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster, but it took me a while to realize. I'm like, why am I so wild?
Because you're being pumped full of hormones, right?
Yes. It took me a minute to realize until Superman was like, what is your deal? I'm like, nothing. And then I was like, wait. Is it the shots? And I was reading. He was like, I'm pretty sure it's the shots. So first of all, I was scared to death because I'm not scared of needles. Like, but I mean, no one says, yay, a needle, right? I mean, you know, unless you're maybe a doctor.
I did when I got milkshakes afterward, but no one gives me those anymore.
But like, so the way it works is that they have me on like these two types of medicine. So I have to take, you have to be a chemist. I'm like, oh my God, I was so nervous about the first one. I actually drove to the doctor's office early in the morning to just do it in front of them because you have to like mix the saline mixture with this 4 vials of powder, like mix it yourself.
Wait, really?
Yes. And then pull it out. Like, I mean, you literally are like a chemist. And then after all of that, then you have to poke yourself. And so it was, I'm not going to lie, every morning I get a little bit of anxiety about doing the mixture right. I mean, and then at night it's really easy. Like whatever the medicine is, it's like almost like in a pen form. So literally you just kind of like put the pen against your stomach and push your medicine in. The needle itself actually doesn't really hurt. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2. But just the fact of like, you know, sticking a needle in your belly, it's like, yay, not fun times.
Kind of goes against that base human instinct not to impale oneself. So, yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see. So I guess from what I understand, which I probably should know more, but honestly, I'm tired, that I think what this medicine is doing is actually lowering my hormones on purpose. So basically this medicine is pulling the rubber band back. And then I'm going to take a slingshot medicine, a week where it's actually going to like pop me forward. Like, you know, you let go of the. And then all of a sudden, like, cause normally as a woman, you know, you produce 1 egg a month. So the pop forward is to say ovulate. And then hopefully you produce a ton of eggs, you know, I don't know, anywhere from, I don't know, more than 1 to like 10, 15. I don't know how many women can produce. So then from those eggs, you know, at least for me, they'll seek the eggs out, you know, combine it with Superman, his sperm, and then like hopefully embryos grow, and then they'll choose, you know, up to 2 healthy embryos, because you still have there's still a chance that one of them is not going to make it, and they'll put 2 inside. Well, she's going to put 2, and then it may be twins, it may not.
Oh, you're going to go for 2. Okay.
She said, well, not because she was like, honestly, I'm not trying to, it's not for you to have twins. It's just that there's always a high likelihood of one not making it. So it's really so you can be guaranteed, like, you know, not guaranteed, but you have a, you know, a higher chance of one making it. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping for twins.
You
even
are?
Though I'm kind of not.
Oh, well, my kinda, God, Tiff, yes. we're going to have to cancel the show if you have twins. I don't know how you're going to do that.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to take like a month off because not even a month.
A month.
I know.
Okay. Woof. We'll cross that bridge when it comes to it.
I know. That's exactly what I said. And then from there, so I don't know. I mean, so typically what happens is, so you go through the cycle of like shot, slingshot, pull the eggs. You know, mix it with your partner's sperm, grow embryos, put one inside, hope it grows. If it doesn't, then you start all over, shot. So some people are along like on their fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth cycle, you know?
So that's what they consider like a round of IVF. It's from the hormones to the insemination and then like the incubating of the embryos.
For the most part. And so, and then if it doesn't, then you go for another round. So that's a full round. So this is my so for those of you who've been following my journey, you're like, you're just now getting to it. Yes. I had fibroids and then I had so many that they removed them. It's called scar tissue. And I had to have two surgeries to remove that. And it was just all of this full year and some change. But I think I had my fibroid surgery, I want to say like January, which like actually right about now, January 25th, I think. And now it's January 22nd. So literally almost a year to date. So it took a year of like preparing my uterus for to be able to carry a baby. So that's why I'm just now getting, because most people don't have to go through all this. Like if they're getting IVF, they might not have a fibroid issue. So they just kind of go and start the process. But it's been a long time of preparation for me.
Man, well, fingers crossed.
No, and who would have thought? Meanwhile, you know, and when you're young, you're like, ooh, please don't be pregnant. Please don't get pregnant. Please don't get pregnant. Meanwhile, now it's like you bending over backwards doing hula hoops to to get pregnant. It's so strange how life happens, because you know, you could be 15 and you're like, no, I just looked at a penis and now I'm pregnant. And I'm as a 39 year old woman, I'm like, please come on, ovaries. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't realize, it's not until you start talking about IVF that you find out just how many women. My doctor told me that that it concerns the fertility industry, that how our fertility, men and women, has significantly dropped over the years. That much lower. Like there's a trend of it just going down. And I'm like, wow, why do you think that is? She was like, honestly, they don't know. Is it stress? Is it diet? They don't know why less and less women are fertile and less men, honestly, are fertile.
Because that's interesting. Like, that's the first time I've heard fertility being down, because you hear, like, births being down, which I think is a symptom of just people getting married older and not wanting kids and the economy and all kinds of stuff. But fertility. Wait, are we actually going to be end up in The Handmaid's Tale?
I know, right? She was like, honestly, that, you know, that there's an overall fertility issue happening. And I don't know if she meant in the United States or like worldwide, but yeah. So she was like, you know, more and more folks that you wouldn't expect to have, you know, a fertility issue are. She was like, I don't drink. I've never have. I don't smoke. I never have. You know, I exercise fairly, you know, I mean, well, let me not lie. I don't exercise. But I don't drink and I don't smoke. Okay. But yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I just feel, I'm not going to lie, I am scared, because I'm feeling overwhelmed by business right now. And I'm like, oh, how does a baby fit into all of this? I'm doing so much.
When you've got two of them in your arms, you just make room. You'll do it. You're not the first working mom. You can do it. You can do it. Right. You'll find a way. Yeah, you'll find a way.
If Serena Williams can win a Grand Slam and have a baby.
Well, I mean, that's just, don't compare yourself to her, because seriously, she's got Beyonce's nanny on speed dial. That's different.
I'm sure.
But you've made me think about my own fertility. I need to, you guys know I need to see some doctors in my life, but I'm really, it's not like it's an immediate plan, but I'm definitely, I'd rather know now. So I can, because, you know, I'm 31 right now, and I feel like I'm at a point where I should at least see what's happening under the hood a little bit more than I have. It's been over a year since I went back to the gynecologist, so that's not healthy. I'm going to do better.
It's good to know. Like, you know, you don't want to find out you have fibroids from randomly like, wait, what? And so, yeah. Or not you, but I'm just saying in general, like I never thought about checking my fertility, you know, like you just, you know, as a woman, you just assume like, well, of course I can have a baby. It's just whether or not do I want to or not. But I never thought, cause I mean, I'm one of five girls, you know, like I was like, I come from a fertile family. Like my grandma had like, you know, 8 children or whatever. And so, but that's not, you know, one, she didn't have them as late as I'm having my first, you know?
Yeah.
So it sometimes there's a fertility issue that only comes up if you wait. So like my younger sister, she had 2 kids, boom, boom, you know, back to, but like she got married and literally within a year had her first, and then a year later had her second. But she also had them in her like in her early 30s. So maybe if I would have, you know, had my first kid at 30, I wouldn't have had an issue. So, but yeah, so it's just good to know where you stand, like going, if you're thinking that you might want to have kids in the future. Because honestly, my doctor was like, Tiffany, you know, like she was like, you should have been here yesterday. I was like, oh, thanks. Because apparently, I guess, what is it called? Is it called follicles?
That's a word, but how are you using it?
I know. I'm like, there are, I think, oh, don't quote me. So anyway, like inside, like, I guess attached to your, uterus, I want to say. I'm probably wrong, but anyway.
Come through, Miss Frizzle. Tell
right?
us.
So women have a number of follicles. So I think you can have like, I don't know how many you can have on each side, you know, but each of those follicles produces an egg. But some women have like 10, you know. And so for me, I'm down to 4. If you don't have any follicles, you cannot produce any egg, then you are truly, you're truly not fertile. No more eggs. And so when I was like, wow, when she said I was down to 4, I didn't know if that was like, okay, so 4 compared to what? And she was like, you know, I would have to Google to see like the most women have. But she said, for example, women can have 10. And I was like, okay. And for my age, although I'm 39, at 39, I guess a typical 39-year-old would have more than 4. So I don't know why. It could be hereditary. It could be, but see, I wish if I would have known, I mean, I don't know that I would have been like, hey, Superman, let's get this baby popping. I don't know what I would have decided. But let's just say I waited another 2 years, you know, and I lost 2 more follicles. You know, I don't know if I was born with a little, because I'd never checked my follicles or whatever before. So when she said that, I was like, wow. So basically, for me, time is of the essence. You know, men can have like kids until they're like, you know, 101. But
how do you, for me, oh, sorry to interrupt, but I was going to ask, how do you, and I wonder if other women listening have the same fear, but I've had friends who've had miscarriages, and I almost feel like preparing to have a kid is also like mentally preparing for what can go wrong. I mean, I'm a natural pessimist, and it's not always a good thing, but I wonder if that's crossed your mind, and if you have like a plan for how you might handle it, or if your doctor has talked about that possibility at all.
Well, I haven't mentioned this before, but actually, I had a miscarriage a year ago. That's how I found out that I had 5 births. And so it was like, I was only like 2 months in, 2.5. So I knew I was having like crazy pains. It was like Superman and I had just gotten married. Not even, it wasn't a year ago. It was. It was because I had the fibroid surgery not that long after. But I found out I was pregnant. I was like, what? Okay, it's good. But then, like soon after, like, you know, only like a month or two in, I just was having like really terrible stomach pains. And it was like, I don't know. I felt like I was getting kicked in the stomach. And so I went to the emergency room and she was like, are you sure you're pregnant? I'm like, well, I took like a number of tests. I had so many fibroids, they couldn't even see.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even know that I had fibroids. And I was like, what? And I lost the baby. And it was like a mix between like, I felt like I felt it more after than during, because I was more shocked. Like, I have fibroids, you know? I'm sorry. That's my IVF shot reminder.
Okay. I'm keeping that in.
You can keep that.
Oh, Tiff.
So what I learned was like, I had so many fibroids. So here's the thing that, even it was better for me to have had that miscarriage. I was like I said, a little under 3 months, because all the fibroids combined were like the size of me being like 4 months pregnant. meaning that those fibers are taking up so much space, the baby would not have been able to grow past 6 months, like as far as size, you know? So imagine having a miscarriage at 6 months, you know? Man. So that's when I found out. And so, of course, I right away was like, well, I want to get rid of them. I mean, there's all these natural remedies and things that you can try. But I was like, I didn't want to wait like 2 years for something to work. And so, you know, I decided to have the fibroid surgery. It actually went really, really well. I had a really good doctor. My recovery was, I mean, I thought everyone's fibroid surgery was kind of like that. And so a number of my friends had it after me, and they didn't have as, their recovery was much harder. But my recovery was really like, after a couple of days, I felt like almost myself again. I had to remind myself, you have stitches, like sit, you know, settle down. So the surgery was fine, but then I kept getting the scar tissue because I had so many fibers removed. And so finally, I think I mentioned like in a previous episode, they had to put that the IUD into me, like the thing that you normally put in. Just basically to hold my uterus open. And also, I didn't realize, and so I recently spoke to my doctor to release medicine so the fibroids wouldn't grow back. Because, you know, fibroids are not something that you can remove them, but they can come back. And since she knew I was going to be recovering for a long time, I could, a year later, be back with fibroids. So I don't have fibroids now, thank God. Cause I just got checked maybe like a week ago, but yeah. So now that's why for me, time is really of the essence. It's like, Tiffany, now like everything has to be on hold. If you want to have a kid, you basically have to, you know, do it now. And so, yeah, I can't say I'm prepared for a miscarriage, but I know that it's possible. And I don't know. I know people who are like on cycle 7. I don't know what that must feel like where you try again and you go again and put the embryos in. I don't know what that must feel like. So I just, you know, one cycle at a time and, you know, prayerfully that this is it. You know, I do the cycle. It takes really well and I don't have to do it like, you know, again and again. That's why I'm kind of hoping for twins, because I'm not going to lie, I do not want to go through this process again. And I think I really would like to have like more than one kid. We have Supergirl, but she's 12. And I feel like, there's nothing like growing up with a sibling close in age.
Yeah.
And so I would like, you know, if I had the opportunity, I want to give that, you know, to my child, because they'll have a sister. But, you know, I know like Lisa, I was 9 when my baby sister Lisa was born. So I was like, I'm an adult. You know, we didn't actually grow up playing together, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Supergirl's a lost cause anyway. So
she is ready. Supergirl's like, bring the baby home.
For now. You know when you came home, Miss Wife. I know. She reacted so well to that. No.
I know. So I mean,
wait, do you need to go take a shot or something? I heard that jingle.
I put it, you have a 2-hour window, so I have plenty of time.
I see.
But,
okay.
Yeah. But I was like, yes, whenever I hear it, I'm like, no more shots. It's something else being a woman, I tell you.
Listen. I was just complaining to my husband, like, I haven't talked to my mother-in-law since Christmas, and I was adding, you know, a week after Christmas, I was like, well, it's been a week, and now I'm thinking it's been a month, and I haven't called her, and I was just like, man, you know, do you feel guilty for not talking to my dad or my mom in a month? Right? And he's like, what? I don't think he even texts either of them. Like, no one, there's no expectation for him to visit them or call them. And I'm like, do you see what's happening here? Like, I'm actually stressed out and she's mad at me for not communicating more. And it's just like such a double standard. So I know it's different than, you know, the fertility things. But yes, it is something being a woman. There's just such a different game. Such a different game.
Because you're expected to still, like, do everything. It's like, oh, you took a shot? Okay, so you're going to show up and still come to work. Oh, you, like, you know, oh, you had a miscarriage. Oh, you know, but you still have to, like, show up. And it's just like, oh, it's just.
What's Superman going through? What's he up to?
For real, you know, like, I mean, obviously we have amazing husbands, but it's not the same. Like, today I literally was like, I came from the accountant. I was feeling so overwhelmed and I was like, oh man, like I have to make dinner when I come home and then I have to take Brown and Bishop. So I came home and he saw my face. He's like, are you okay? I was like, what do you want with your chicken? He was like, babe, I can make dinner. I was like, no, it's fine, because I said I'm going to make dinner more often, you know? And he was like, honestly, I don't want to eat your dinner right now. Just go take a nap. But it's like, you know, because I feel guilty about that too, because I'm like, oh, I don't make dinner as much as I should. Am I a good stepmom? I feel like Supergirl still hates me half the time. Some days she's like, hey, Tiffy. Other days I'm like, good morning, and it's crickets. I'm like, what have I done to you? Oh, I'm just like, and then I'm like, I want to be a good daughter. You want to be a good friend.
Oh, you're stressing me out. Okay.
I know. So, you know what, though, I have to say. And to be fair, I'm like, yo, these shots are something else. Because I'm like, Tiffany, you weren't wilding like this before. And it's not until I was talking to my best friend, Drina. She was like, so I think the shots are taking And now I'm laughing. I am truly feeling crazy. So, yes. So if I'm, you can feel free to reel me on in, because I know the shots definitely have me on a roller coaster ride.
No, well, I'm really happy that you're sharing. And I mean, come on. I think everyone listening can relate, at least in some parts, what you're going through. So, well, good vibes, nothing but good vibes, good baby vibes. And yeah, keep us posted.
Will do.
Now for my Debbie Downer segue. I feel like we need some kind of sad gong or something. Day 33 of the government shutdown.
Yeah.
My husband's contributing nothing to the household, and yet he's still having to go to work every day. It sucks. Like, there's people who, if you're considered non-essential, you don't have to go to work. And yes, that sucks, because, you know, you're not working, you're not getting paid. But he's considered essential, so he still has to go to work and still isn't getting paid. And he's like, it's never been busier, so he's still working late. He had to go to work on Saturday. Like, when is this madness going to end? I read some article about a guy who's like making Star Wars figurines to make extra income, and how people are trying to find side hustles just to kind of make ends meet. And I can't take it much longer.
No. You know, it's so crazy, because having a government job was supposed to be like the safest job you can get, like that, you know, super secure, great insurance. And now it's like, is it, you know?
Yeah. Tax season's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier. I don't even know. I mean, with the IRS already being like kind of a shit show, now when you consider they're saying that they're going to do their best to get everything out on time per usual, but they're saying that. But I don't know if it'll, you know, things will actually happen. Because when are we supposed to start getting well, you don't know, but the end of January, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it even affects everyone. Like, two of my companies, I switched from an S corp to a C corp. That's different. That means I'll be taxed differently. Submitted the stuff in November through my accountant. Of course, he did it. December, they were like closed. And so now he's trying to call, because we have to do my taxes. And so we don't know how to file. Am I an S corp? Am I a C corp? And there's nobody to ask. That's totally, the difference is like tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. Because if they say, no, we're not going to allow you to be a C corp, then I owe more. And if they say, yes, you could be a C corp, then I owe less. And so, you know,
they're just not answering the phone
there's no one to answer. He's called. And yeah, because you have to be, you know, you have to be approved. And he's like, well, we're going to move forward with the thinking that you're a C corp, but they might come back and say otherwise, or they might say, hey, you could be a C corp, but it can't be since January 1st. We'll only let you since when you were filed in November. So there's no, it could be three different answers. And so it affects this shutdown. It's affecting everyone, even if you don't directly work for the federal government. And it's just, I don't like, what's the end goal here? You know, well, I know what the end goal is, but.
The wall. Yeah. Chaos. Distraction. Well, it's also impacting people in the mortgage process. We've read about that recently. So if you're like a federal worker and your bank is asking you for, you know, records of your payment in the middle of an underwriting phase, they don't just do that at the beginning of a loan application. They'll come at the very end too, if you're like closing, and do another check of all your records. And if all of a sudden, you know, you've been furloughed, that could you know, throw a wrench in your plan, unless you kind of talk to your lender. But on the bright side, we did recently write a story about a bunch of banks kind of offering assistance to federal workers who've been furloughed. So if you've got loan payments due, or you're going to miss your credit card payment or something like that, call up your bank and check out their website and see if they offer any kind of financial hardship program. They're typically used after like natural disasters, but it's been good to see banks doing the right thing and agreeing to work with workers, because this is seriously out of anybody's hands except for our elected officials.
Yeah, no, that has been really good to see. I've seen a lot. And just, I've seen a lot of people giving, and like restaurants, like offering free lunches. And it's just, you know, there's been a lot of just like heartwarming things, but it would just be nice for people. I honestly, I can't imagine, you know, when I was a preschool teacher being like, oh, no check for the whole month. I don't even know. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Guess the song.
That was.
It's time for questions.
I don't do it again, but I don't know.
Oh man, it's like I got, because you know I was trying to think like what's the second part of the melody. Okay, you know what? For those of you guess, I want you to tweet us at the BA Podcast or. And let us know if you know what that tune is, the questions tune.
Okay. You can rewind it to hear it again, but don't actually do it again.
All right. So you can email us your questions at
brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm actually going to dig into the Dreamcatchers group on Facebook. It's Dreamcatchers:LiveRicher with the Budgetista. This question comes from, well, because this is a private group, I'm not going to say her name. I'm going to say her name is Maria. Maria says, what are your thoughts on paying a credit repair agency monthly to clean up your credit compared to doing it yourself? Also, is it better to dispute items or negotiate a settlement for deletion? So credit repair versus doing yourself, dispute or negotiate a settlement for deletion. This is Maria. What say you, Mandra?
Yeah, credit repair. I mean, this is one of those topics that, or one of those things that isn't necessarily nefarious or predatory, but easily can get into that lane. So you have to really be careful when you're vetting a credit repair firm and make sure that your expectations of them are realistic and that the value of them taking the time to do something that you could do yourself is worth it to you to pay for it. That would be my warning. So read reviews, you know, check, see if there have been complaints about them online. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau still publishes a report where they track, you know, complaints against different financial institutions. I just have a hard time saying it can help, and I think it can be helpful in certain situations, especially for people who just feel overwhelmed. But it's not like... it's not like the panacea to all your problems. It won't solve everything. It's not a magic pill that'll remove all your debt and save all your woes. Like Tiffany always says, like if poor credit history is on your report and it's true, it'll stay there, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing about when you like this, Maria saying, dispute items and negotiate a settlement for deletion. But here's the thing. And this is the thing that sometimes the disreputable credit repair agencies do. And I hate that, honestly, that sometimes Dreamcatchers, that they've got you thinking that disputing true items is the way to clean up your credit report. it's true. Like what, when you dispute something, you're saying, hey, this is not true. But if you did indeed swipe your visa, an O visa, that's true. So you're really not supposed to dispute that, because unless Visa says you owe 500 when you know you only owe 200, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, saying should you dispute items, well, only dispute it if it's not true, or negotiate a settlement for deletion. Now, negotiating a settlement, I mean, to me, here's the thing. It really kind of depends on what it's worth to you. Now, if you owe $50,000 and you want to negotiate a settlement down to 10, it's going to be worth, to me, that's probably worth the hit to your credit report. But know that because if basically they've forgiven $40,000 worth of debt, you're likely going to have to pay taxes on what was not paid, because what's not paid is considered income to the federal government. Right. So that's one. You have to keep that in mind. So you might have to pay, you know, 25-30% on that money that wasn't paid. But sometimes that's still worth it to some folks. But I've seen people settle like, you know, $500 worth of debt, and it's not necessarily worth it if you can pay that off, because like having a settlement on your credit report can really give you a nasty ding. And I don't know that it's worth it for $500, you know. So it's really up to you to decide.
Is that ding like more painful than or worse for your credit than just the continuous, you know, non-payment of debt? Like if you're not being able to make your payments and finally you just settle it.
So I say this. So this is what like was told, shared with me. Like I remember I was deciding whether to settle, and I had already not paid for a longer period of time. And my friend Michaela, who's a lawyer, was like, we're here now. Tiffany, like, I was like, I don't know. I don't want it to, because I was talking about foreclosure. And she's like, you haven't paid your mortgage in a year. So it was basically like, your credit score is already in the gutter. This is just you kicking the can in the gutter. I was like, okay. So yeah. Basically, yes, if you are behind for a long time, then settling is not a huge thing. But let's just say I wouldn't come out the gate settling if you don't have to, unless you're really going to save a significant amount of money that's worth it. Because settling, you have to think about it this way. What you're telling future lenders is, I don't pay back. Like if you lend to me, there's a high likelihood that I'm only going to give you some of your money back. And no lender wants to see that.
Yeah. And when you settle too, like lenders typically won't settle with you unless you're really delinquent already. Mm-hmm. Like you're months behind on payments. So I would, you know, if you miss one payment or a few months of your payments, a lender may not be prepared to settle with you until it gets really bad. So you have to understand, you may be like, if you plan on settling, you would have to have the stomach to watch your credit score tank, because it takes a long time of non-payment for them to consider settling that debt. But often with settling debt, even if a credit repair gets you a debt settlement deal, which honestly you can do yourself simply by asking, you know, I can't pay 10, but I have 6. Even if they did, often they require a lump sum payment right away. So if you don't have the money up front, that can be bad. I mean, it can be worthless, because yes, they've negotiated for you, but you don't have the money to pay it off. So you're back where you started. That's one of the reasons why we recommend reaching out to agencies like the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Mm-hmm. They have sort of a lift of, they'll match you with a credit counselor, and they can help you set aside money to pay off your debt and get you on a debt repayment plan through their system. And it can be, I believe, like $25 a month to get that type of support from the NFCC. And they're a nonprofit and highly reputable. And I'm happy to share a link to their site in the notes.
Yeah, I like them. So it's nfcc.org, right? ORG?
I believe so. I can check. I'll put a link in the show notes. Yep.
And then, because to me, the only kind of entity that you can settle without taking like this immediate hit that I've seen is like when I settled my hospital bill. And so it went to like internal collections at the hospital. So they hadn't like set it to like the credit bureaus. So I was able to settle. But when I looked on my credit score, it didn't go on my credit report, because they had not reported it yet, that they sent it to their internal collections versus like the, you know, the normal collections bureaus that report to, like Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. So hospital bills, there's a lot more flexibility when it comes to settling.
Yeah, I've definitely settled some. It's not that I didn't pay. I just forgot or didn't. They had sent a bill for like, you know how you go to the doctor and you get some lab tests, and then you get bills from like these random labs and you forget what they are because it's like 2 months later. anyway, that happened, and I ended up just I just kept being so frustrated. And she was like, "Look, do you want to just get rid of this for $40?" And I was like, "Sure." And that was easy. So, good question. Just watch out for credit repair firms. Opt for instead a credit counseling nonprofit if you can. Start there.
We have a good question. I want to ask another one. This one is nice and light. So I'm going to say her name is Tiara. Tiara says, what are some of your financial goals for 2019? Mine is to start saving for a down payment for a house and to take this IT class and start making some real money. Okay, Tiara. So what are your financial goals for 2019?
Recover from homeownership in 2018. Yeah, rebuild back up my emergency fund to a place where I'm really happy and feeling confident. I would say also, I know I have my own goals for my health. I think that's also tied up in financial wellness somehow. I mean, I feel like if I'm not well and I can't work, then that puts my family at a disadvantage and my household at a disadvantage. So I'm working on that. I think career-wise, I always think about those types of goals. I'm fortunate to be in a position where I feel like every other month there's new challenges and new things to sink my teeth into, and I'm always feeling challenged by the work. One of the things that I've recognized, though, in the last sort of few months, or not few months, but the last year, is that I could definitely learn some skills that other people that I work with know, instead of having to rely on them to do things for me. And it's not that I want to do their job, but I want to better educate myself about a particular strategy that feeds a lot of the direction of what we do here. And I've already set up kind of conversations with the person who leads the team that does this part of the strategy for our company. And he's, you know, going to help me learn so that I can sort of walk into meetings feeling more confident in my own knowledge about the subject matter, and then be able to call people on their BS when they're not, you know, doing what they say they're going to do, or they're not, you know, giving us the direction that we need. And that's actually going to be a big game changer for me, I feel like, in my career, because it'll make me even more valuable if I speak that, if I'm just multilingual and other sort of types of strategies and conversations at the company.
Oh, smarty arty.
I'm trying.
I still feel like I'm not doing right by my retirement plan. And so that's one of like my big goals is to really feel comfortable okay, this is my clear retirement plan. This is how much I'm going to have by this date. And, you know, because right now I just feel like I'm throwing money in there and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's happening. I'm just making money as a budgetista. But I feel like on the back end, I'm not quite as secure. Like I'm good at savings. Yes. And, you know, we invested by purchasing, you know, our house in the way that we did, but I don't feel like I'm solid in my retirement planning. And, two, I've already had like the talk with my parents, but I really want to sit down and make sure that their will is where it's supposed to be, and you know their long term healthcare plans are where they're supposed to be. So thankfully, we're in a space where after talking with them for like about a year, they're really comfortable. They're like, yes. So a friend of mine who's a lawyer and she does this is actually gonna come, I'm hoping by the beginning of February, that's why I asked her. And she's going to sit down with my parents and start the process of just having these things, together. My dad had a really bad cough the other day, and it wasn't anything crazy, but my dad has never been like, he doesn't have high blood pressure. He doesn't have diabetes. He doesn't like the stuff that plagues older people. My dad's in his 70s, does not plague him. He plays tennis 3 times a week. I mean, I didn't even know what wheat bread was when I was a kid, but we just knew daddy ate brown bread. That's what I used to call it. Like, ew, brown bread. he's always been really, really healthy. So when he had a cold, we were all like, wait, why is daddy coughing? No! Meanwhile, the doctor was like, yo, we, poor man, we took that man to the emergency room.
You're
the
kidding.
The doctor was, yo, I am not joking. Because we had never, when I tell you, I've never, I was like, we were like, we don't know what's wrong. They were like, he has a cold. He's going to be fine. Oh my dad was not happy with us. Like, I told you I was fine. I was like, but daddy, we never see you sick. And so, yeah, he's more than fine. He had a cold. They literally gave him like Flonase and like he's like allergies and a cold, Flonase and like Mucinex. And I was like, oh,
I'm dying.
I know. But what it made me think of, though, is because, like I said, you know, my dad's in his mid 70s. What it made me think of is that are we, you know, prepared? You know, like I said, he's in really good health. And, you know, the doctor was like, because I was like, oh, but he's getting a little skinny. And my dad's like, my doctor was like, when's the last time you saw an obese, you know, 80-year-old? And I was like, this is true. He was like, people get a little slimmer, Tiffany. He's fine. He plays tennis. He's healthy. He's happy. Nothing's wrong. But it did make me think about the future. So I'm having my attorney and my friend Tony come and drop some paper. So that's like a big goal for me. I've really been thinking about like future planning for my family, myself, my husband, a bonus daughter. And then also planning for like my parents and making sure that like their wishes are fully expressed. And we all know what that is. So those are like really my big main goals for 2019.
Those are good goals.
Stop harassing my poor father. Yo, you have no idea. When they told us Flonase and Mucinex, the look he gave, I was like,
They're like, thank you for giving us an opportunity to bill your insurance. Multiple thousands of dollars.
I know, yo. I was like, yikes. If I was like, darn it, if my dad ever really gets sick, he's never going to want to go to the hospital. But still, we had to now. But it's just good to know that like he's in great health, and it just goes to show you when you take care of yourself, you know, if you're fortunate enough to live to be a little older, that your body will take care of you.
Yeah, we should set some Brown Ambition goals.
Yeah, we should.
I think we need to be at Essence Fest recording this year. You always go without me because I always forget until it's like the week of Essence Fest, and you're like, Brown Boost, I'm going to Essence Fest.
But you know what? To be all the way honest, Essence. It's extra brown, and usually they're like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, Essence Fest, don't do this. They're like, no, really, what are you? So okay. So I mean, definitely, we're like, Drina, I've got the best publicist in the world, but every year she definitely does push early, and it's always, I don't know, that it's like, psych, come. So hopefully we'll get like a little bit more notice, or maybe we'll be able to go with like a brand who is already going to be there. So we'll work both angles.
Oh yeah, I don't need like an invitation. I'll just show up. All we need is like, you know, a mic and the computer. We can just hang outside the front entrance and just pull people in. I'll be like, Oprah Gale, join Brown Ambition. What can go wrong?
Yeah. So are we good on questions? Hey guys, do not forget, ask your questions, please. We love your questions.
Go ahead and email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us a message on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We're at the BA Podcast on Twitter and Brown Ambition on Facebook.
Yes. Now it's time for Booster Break or Booster Break. I'm going to go first and I'm going to take a break. Have you seen, everyone's talking about it on the Instagrams. The Fyre Festival documentary.
Which one? So yes, I've watched the Hulu one and I died. It was so funny.
If you watch the Hulu one, you will love the Netflix one. Watch both of them.
That's what I've heard. The Netflix one's supposed to be really good.
Yes, it is beyond, and I don't even know if I want to break it or boost it. I don't know. Either way.
You want to boost the poor people.
Yes.
Who were, you know, the poor local Bahamians who were, you know, left it broke by this whole festival. And then like,
yeah. And poor, not as in poor, as in like, just in case y'all start reading us, like not poor, like no money, poor, like this is an unfortunate thing that happened to them. Poor, just to be clear.
Many people lost lots of money. Like I heard one restaurant owner lost like tens of thousands of dollars. Like she took it out of her own nest egg. I'm totally just stomping all over your booth. Sorry. I'll stop.
No, you're right. No, but thank goodness. So they had her do an actual GoFundMe. A GoFundMe that they're going to work to make sure it's really her and that she's going to get it. Last time I checked, it was up to 150, but she put up 50,000. So for those of you who haven't watched it, the Fyre Festival was supposed to be this big, huge, so think Coachella, but upscale. And it was supposed to take place in the Bahamas, but there's a scam artist named Billy. I forget his last name. But anyway, he and Ja Rule, which how random, I know.
Hip-hop mogul Ja Rule.
Mogul is a stretch. We'll just say former hip-hop rapper or hip-hop star. So they got together and, well, what was, I didn't know this originally, Fire was an app so you can book just like musical acts. And they wanted to promote the app and someone suggested a festival. So they decided to have it in the Bahamas. But from the very beginning, it was clear that it was a scam. So apparently this Billy guy is a master scammer, that he's been scamming his whole life. And I don't think he thought that it would go as big, because normally what he did was that he'd scam and basically be able to easily keep the money because there was no real recourse. But this grew so big, so many people wanted to go to the Fyre Festival that they paid a ton of money. And it just grew, and because of social media and people, you know, he had people come to other countries. And so he got investors involved and he was like, forging wire transfers to tell people that they were, he sent them money. It was just a whole bunch of stuff that he did. And so he's now serving 6 years in federal prison, as he should, if not longer. And yeah, so many people lost a ton of money or didn't get paid at all. But what it really was interesting was to see the power of social media and influencers, because that's why so many people, like Kendall Jenner posted about Fyre, all these models posted about Fyre. And as a result, you know, it made like, you know, all these people want to go. But it's a really good, like, I would say, if it was me, I would say, watch the Hulu one first, because, well, maybe it depends, because in the Hulu one, you get to really see how crazy this guy is. But in the Netflix one, it is both hilarious and ghastly. They're both really good, though. But I definitely spent like two nights watching it. And I was just like, wow, the audacity, the unmitigated gall of this guy. And then even after that, Mandy, even after that, he was out on bail and started a new scam while out on bail. Yeah.
That kind of person's like a pathological liar. He needs to be in jail forever.
Yeah. And that's what they said, that a psychologist was like, you know, he's someone who will always be scamming. It's just part of him. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, it was really good. So it's kind of like a boost break. It was like there were really interesting documentaries and everyone's been talking about it. So I definitely highly recommend them both.
Highly recommend. Yeah. Ditto.
You got to boost a break.
I'm going to do a break. And a boost. So the break, I mean, it's a break and a boost at the same time. But I've been living under a rock, and there's this reporter in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, who she claims was told her natural hair was unprofessional. She started wearing her hair natural on the air, and her news director pulled her aside and said that it was unprofessional and asked her to change it back. And then later on, she was fired. And I'm brushing up on the details of the story, but it sounds like she's filed a complaint with the EEOC. What does that stand for again? Equal Employment Opportunity Commission?
Okay.
EEOC. But anyhow, EEOC handles a lot of workplace litigation filed by employees who have been wronged on, you know, matters of inequality. So gender discrimination, race discrimination. So, yeah, this story is really, really shocking. I think it's not unusual because we've seen in the news lately, like, you know, if you're a news reporter, a black woman as a news reporter, if you wear your hair natural, like we've seen women get called out by callers, like to the show. There was that one viral clip of some, like a voicemail that some news viewer like left this poor reporter because she changed her hair. That was really racist. And people will flood the comments and leave for, you know, racist remarks or whatever. I used to do videos at Yahoo, and when I started transitioning my hair, you'd get like hair comments in the comments.
No.
Yeah, it was just like par for the course. However, like to actually get fired, I thought we were just beyond this. So it's just shocking to me to hear if these allegations are true, that she might have been let go because of her appearance and if her natural hair played a role in it. And she talks about how when she was hired, you know, she was wearing her hair straight and pressing it with flat iron. And you know what it takes. We all know burning your hair to no end to get it to lay flat. And how, you know, changing it halfway into her role or however long it was, you know, to have that pushback from her manager. Like, I just, yeah, it's like some traditional corporate environments. It's still like you're stuck in 1950. Which is just super, super sad. But she's getting a lot of attention, so hopefully something good comes of it.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be honestly, yeah, because I just, yeah, it's just unfortunate. And I just can't imagine, because like you said, me too, you know, when I taught preschool, I had a fro at one time, like a literal Michael Jackson afro. But I was teaching preschool. No one was like, hey, you know? And then after that, the fro, I had twists, I had braids. But as a teacher, especially of little ones, no one, and plus I taught in Newark, where, you know, the majority of the kids look like me. So parents weren't like, hey, what's that hair? It's like, you have the same hair as me, you know? So then I became, you know, I started the Budgetista, where I could do whatever. But I mean, to be all the way honest, I'm thinking to myself, if like my locks, the way they are now, you know, they lay quote unquote neat, you know? So I don't know that I would be on TV with the fro. You know what I mean? Like with like the reel and like the news and stuff that I do. I don't know that they would accept me or allow me to be on, if I really think about it. Like I'm wearing my locks the way I'm wearing them now because I like them. But, you know, I mean, I realize now that, like, you know, it's in alignment with like, you know what, even though they're locks, they look really neat. I've heard people say that, like, oh my gosh, like your hair are locks, but they're really neat. I'm like, and I, you know, it's almost like code for, they almost look like regular hair, you know? Yeah.
Pretty good for black hair.
Exactly. Yeah. So
the coded language.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And it's hard because, it's hard being a sister.
It is, but I'll tell you one thing, you know, put me in the place of her news director and it wouldn't have been an issue. Like, we need people who look like us and go, you know, identify with us to be in places of power, because then it becomes normal. It's unusual because, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have white people in leadership roles. Like, that's not at all what I'm saying. I don't want to be misconstrued, but we need to have more people sitting around the table having those types of conversations.
Yeah, because if people, like you said, it must be really hard to walk the line when you're like, okay, so this is what she means by that. Okay, so, but it's also good because, I mean, I don't believe in coincidences, and that, you know, who you are, who you came from, all of those things are critical components of where you are now and your ability to be where you are. Because one, you know, like people can just look at you and be like, oh, wow, Manny's in a position of power and she wears her hair like big and beautiful.
They don't always think that. I will tell you, people, but I will say one thing that I've struggled with. I haven't really struggled with anything on my team, but I do get, people don't assume that I'm the boss sometimes. And it's not like I let it bother me, but it does happen. I noticed the front desk person, there was a new one recently, and she made a comment that led me to believe that, oh, she doesn't know that I run the whole team, you know? And it's just interesting. You have to kind of clock those types of assumptions. Yeah. It's like, it's the same thing. Like if a black woman tells you she's going to be a character in a movie and she wants you to guess who she's going to be, a lot of times people might guess like, oh, you're the villain, or, oh, you're the, you know, you're like the rookie or whatever. Would you guess that they're the main character of the movie, like the lead in the film? It's just interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is very, very, very interesting.
So fascinating.
I know. That's code for it gets on my freaking nerves.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
No, this has been awesome, though. But, Well, one last little boost. Did I talk about I really want to see that movie Little with Marseille?
Oh, yes.
I know.
Shout out to Marseille. She's the best.
Yes. First of all, Marseille Martin, right? Issa Rae. And is that Regina King? No, not Regina King.
I thought it was Sana Latham.
No, it's Regina. Oh, don't kill me, black people.
I'm going to claim 50% white right now.
No, you
I'm leaving
like, I'm
you.
Nigerian. I'm Nigerian.
Under the bus. Bye.
I know. I forget. Oh, man. I'm like, it's the other Regina. Don't kill me. I know. Just take my black card right now. Just,
Regina Hall. Pregnant. Regina Hall. Regina Hall.
Regina Hall. Woo! Okay. You see, you brought it back in. So yeah. So that's just, it just looks like a dope movie, and I just love all that black girl magic. So that's a nice little boost.
I love it. Yeah, it looks really cute. I'll definitely see it.
Okay, this has been, wow, we went from everywhere. Isn't that so crazy? I went from my life is so overwhelming to like, I swear, now I gotta take another shot. I'm like, I can't, Manny.
Come on, you can do this for the twins, Tiff.
My emotions are all over the place. It's the worst when you don't even know that your emotions until you realize. You're like, wait, I'm acting crazy. Oh, okay. You're so, yeah, of course.
You are a vessel of life.
I am. A vessel of crazy life. No.
Surround yourself in flowers and do a Beyonce photo shoot or something. Just
I've been, I've been listening to a lot of NDIRE lately.
Oh.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.